Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, things still feel very 2020-y up in this. But with me, I have...
Man, I can't believe we're just 1 week away from 2021. I can't wait for all those New Year's Eve celebrations. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
And
individually, my mic just fucking died, or at least not working as well. Fuck. Dad, I gotta get a new fucking cord or something.
Yeah, like I said, things still feel very 2020 up in this. It's like, what the hell? The calendar changed over. Shouldn't we all be putting our heads in robot bodies? You know, like Adrian Barbobot? What the fuck?
You know why everyone in Seattle 2021 went insane, right?
Yes, I've heard the theory that it's just the cast on the 2020 show who have been locked up for a year, and that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, try and prove that it's not what happened.
So, when are we all going to get together and play dodgeball? Anyway, here we are, starting the new year off with episode 204. So, how did we all manage to survive the last weeks of 2020?
I'm not sure we did, because, things have been kind of weird lately, and also kind of, very much on fire. Like, last week, it started with Bean Dad.
Oh, God.
And then we had The Thing.
We will get to it. We promise. We know you're going to want to hear it. We will get to it. I assure you.
Yeah, because we have things to say about that. And it ended and escalated with Donald Trump getting permabanned from the internet. Parler getting shut down by the internet. And the most hilarious fucking football game I've ever seen on Sunday night. It was magical.
God bless you, Big Papa Viacom. If only for the reason that we know someone at Nickelodeon's gonna lose their fucking job.
I should have won Nickelodeon that day.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those hot mics, because they'll pick up everything, and this is how we deal with the world still being on fire.
Yes.
Because it's still very much on fire.
And who says broadcast TV doesn't have any value anymore? You're not gonna get that on Netflix. But, anyway, Mark, what about you? How did you survive?
Well, let's see. We'll get to one thing, except that's for later on. But I'm going to get to just basically stuff I watched the past few weeks since the last show we did. So, I got Hulu, watched Animaniacs, with the reboot Animaniacs. And you know what? It's kind of cool. I know it ain't the old shit, it's got some good shit going on. And that's, I think, the one episode where Yakko raps against this rapper called I'm trying to care the name, J-Pocalypse Easter Rapper. Oh, man, Z. Robinson, you treat him made me more, and why I say why I fuck with you more.
Don't forget the episode where they completely drive Tucker Carlson insane.
Oh, yes, that one too. What could happen in real? That didn't happen in real life. That should happen in real life.
Yeah, it should.
I really got to get around to that reboot.
Yeah. Okay. So, what else I want to see? I got to that Wolf Walkers movie on Apple TV Plus. Really good movie. We enjoyed it. I finally got HBO Max and finished Infinity Train Season 3, which, oh boy, wow, that ended that. That got kind of fucking dark. Even though that one character from season 3, I'm gonna say, yeah, fuck that nigga.
Ooh, that bad, eh?
I mean, yeah, the character, the show, I mean,
Oh, well, of course.
The show's still great.
It's fucking Infinity Train, yeah, of course it is. I still need to watch season 3.
And I said this on Twitter a while back, like, start of the new year, which I've been saying it. I've said it, like, you know how many of you anime motherfuckers used to do, like, some years of Bleach or Fairy Tail or whatever the fuck y'all doing back then?
Oh, that was a fun 2016. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I thought I'd do that. What with Black Clover?
Ouch.
Yeah. I thought I'd do it like two episodes a day.
I feel your pain by proxy.
All I can say is, wow, this is some good background noise.
Emphasis on noise.
Well, I will say at least I watched the dub of it. At least I can say, well, I can do something else while listening to this, which is, it's kind of the same. It's the same old Shonen shit I've been we know all these years. Like, who's Captain Hart for this show?
I can think of a
You'd
few
be surprised.
People.
You'd be surprised.
Like, oh my god! I don't know if he was talking about, oh, but it gets better.
It does not.
A bit later on, oh boy. All I got from there is like it's the same shit I saw from Mother. It's some Mother show, except, well, actually no, yeah, it's the same shit.
But it's not even like done really well though. And that's my thing with Black Clover. Like, I can forgive a lot if it's at least done well, but, like, it is not. It's the worst shonen cliches done badly.
Pretty much. People got me over for West. I mean, people got me over for that shit, which, that doesn't matter. At least it's more enjoyable. This is just, that is, well, that's good. And of course, you know, the whole, you know, anime season start, and so all just the new shows coming out, which, I mean, I'm trying to make sure I don't burn out like I did last season, which, fuck, I burn out a lot, even though there's going to be more coming because, well, probably after the COVID delays, most shit will be like, you know what, we're gonna have this much stack material here, then the next season, then maybe the next, because, fuck it, we're y'all hungry for new shit.
Yeah.
And one last thing. My Sentai stuff has arrived finally. Well, it arrived around the 29th or 30th and 31st of last month. Even though I ordered on the 5th and 12th respectively, I know it shipped around like 17. I know that delay gets shit during there too. Just maybe not as bad as yours. I don't know the situation in there, but just like yeah, it is. I mean, at least it's there, but yeah, that's been my, you know, my day, so my, guess what happened.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, well, I got a fancy new chair as my big gift for the holidays. I'm a real gamer now, guys! And I've just been killing the time watching some animes, playing some games. I finally got that deluxe edition of both Ori games on Switch. Fantastic material. And as far as the animes that I was watching, there was Tokyo Godfathers, great holiday movie. I finally watched the volleyball anime, the first season, pretty good stuff. And my not entirely straight musician ass finally watched Given.
Ah, yeah, it's good stuff, isn't it?
Very good show. Indeed, very gay. I have to talk a couple points because you named two of your episodes The Reason and Wonderwall.
Yeah, that's the only not great marks on it because, some choice song selections aren't, great.
Well, that, and I could say I feel very much personally attacked by the show, especially Ueno-yama when he realized the feelings were mutual.
That was fantastic moment.
Let me tell you, that is exactly how it happened when I started my relationship.
Yep, that's how it always happens.
And one last thing, I cannot wait for the movie to hopefully come out at some point this year, so I can see whether or not Haruki and Kachi finally fuck.
Yeah, they're saying February.
Good. Give me the movie.
Yeah, coming on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I think they're the ones that are streaming it. I mean, they stream the show, so why
yes,
not?
Yes, yes. They're the only ones who have it.
Exactly. Give me my Gage Rubber shit. But, yeah, aside from that... Oh, yeah, and I finally watched Eizouken. 10 out of 10. Very memeable OP. And good show, too. All right.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
Yeah, so, with all that stuff out of the way, we can finally settle into the groove of our usual business. As always, we start off with the new song discussions for the past... however many couple of weeks it was since the last bit major episode. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us. And, oh hey, look at that. Looks like we're gonna get things started here with Gex Night at Scott Wozniak's house. So, as you all know, last year was the 20th anniversary of Linkin Park's mega hype-selling-ass album Hybrid Theory, which of course saw that 20th anniversary reissue. And it looks like, in the tradition of the original Hybrid Theory's release, we are going to be getting some remixes out there. As we all know, there was that Reanimation Remixes album that came out the year after, and still kind of holds, like, a place in the top five, like, best-selling remix albums of all time. Many consider it a pretty integral part of the Linkin Park musical canon. So, how exactly do we start off this round of remixes? What, were you not paying attention to the gag we made earlier? We're getting a 100 Gex remix here. Of course, the banger-ass single One Step Closer. And first off, apparently Thanos came back after Endgame at some point, and he's building houses of cards at his downtime. You know, I guess you gotta whittle away the hours in quarantine somehow. So as for the remix cover, I'm not sure how you would describe this in relation to the original. It's definitely a 100 Gex track. I mean, you do have the elements of the original song in there, from that guitar riff to, of course, the vocals from Chester and Mike and all that. And but there is definitely, like, those Gex-isms with that kind of very steel-sounding snare sample thing, with lots of weird trollish screamo digressions and what sounds more like them singing and performing the chorus themselves as opposed to full-on going in with the remix territory. Shit, even when it does the shut-up-when-I'm-talking-to-you part, it's still filtered through the fuzzy, blown-out Gex soundscape and everything. I mean, hey, if the guys in Linkin Park decided they wanted to have Gex remix this, you know, more power to them, they can choose what the choices they are. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I mean, I like Gex and everything, but when you're encroaching on territory of an absolute classic banger like this, then I'm still processing all of this.
Yeah. I'll admit that I totally don't get this whole 100 Gex thing outside of them being kind of a hyper-pop shitpost project with how weird they get, and this is certainly weird with the minimalist video and glitchy vocal work. But as a remix project, I can kind of dig this, since it's in that weird, glitchy, electronic vibe of the Reanimation album, which, yes, I can confirm it is one of my favorite Linkin Park albums, if not my absolute favorite Linkin Park album, because there's a lot of good stuff on there. And in the spirit of Gex, I'll just say, this reminds me a lot of those Naruto AMVs I found on LimeWire.
Wait, who was posting AMVs on LimeWire?
I don't know. It was a stupid joke I made up a couple days ago. It doesn't have to make sense.
Just like this song.
Yeah. Hey, we brought it together. We'll try the joke again next time when we do the show for real.
Yeah. Anyway, now we've got the weirdness out of the way, so pretty much everything else is more conventional sailing. Hell, we are apparently going to kick off... Well, okay, not kick off so much as end the month, but still... We're ending this month with a new project from none other than Madlib.
I guess the news that him and Fortet are making this collaboration called called Sound and Sisters on January 29th. And they collaborate on a track called Hop Rock. Like, they have released a track earlier called World War, was the only one to back in the movies on hiatus. But now, well, what this tracker say, it's got this very warm, this very hazy sound, which starts off, you know, very kind of quiet, and then as it goes through this very, like, this cranking beat, got really good bass line going on, and some intricate samples going in. Like, yeah, it sounds really nice, sounds very chill. It's like, it got a mood, like, it's a musical instrumental, which, you know, I can dig this sound. And given that, I think both of them have worked before. I know Forte kind of been involved with the Manly projects in the past, but I guess he has worked for me. It's some good shit.
Yep, definitely sounds like a mashup of Mad Lib and Fortet styles, all right. Plenty of bells, chimes, wood blocks, weird other percussive elements. Then, of course, getting into that typical Mad Lib kind of, you know, drum beat. There's a friggin' upright bass, I think, in the background at some point. But yeah, it sounds like the two of them getting along together quite well. Anyway, moving on to the week after that, there is, of course, the upcoming new album from British rapper Slow Tie titled Tyron, due out February 5th. And we have a new single here called Mazza, which features none other than guest vocals from A$AP Rocky. Now, first off, what the fuck is that title even? Apparently, from what I found, Mazza is shorthand for a British slang term mazzoline, which basically just means, like, going wild and doing crazy stupid shit. And, yeah, the song is certainly all about that. I mean, in Slow Tie's verses, it's all about, you know, engaging in self-destructive behaviors like drug abuse, violence, and, you know, just all the kind of shit that would make a man depressed as fuck if you weren't actually enjoying any of it. Then, of course, there's A$AP's verse, which, honestly, is just a lot of popping bottles, banging hoes, flashing bling, and shouting out all kinds of musical homies like Tyler, the Creator, and, of course, the late Pop Smoke. I'll give it this, it's certainly a hell of a lot more lyrically coherent than the last Slow Tie song we had to think about. Mainly in Slow Tie's verse, A$AP just kind of feels like it's, you know, not even connected to the main thought here. But hey, Slow Tie improved, so that counts for something.
Yeah, this really is, it feels more like something that I expect in Slow Tie's lane. Like, it's a little more coherent than the what I heard last time from him. And yeah, A$AP Rocky is, well, he does A$AP Rocky, like, I can take it or leave it, but yeah, it's definitely like the usual I hear from him. Like, it's me, it's me, like, it's all right. I can listen to it.
Yeah, but anyway, now to move on to the next track here. The month after that, on March 5th, we are getting the newest full length album from the band Chevelle. It's titled Neurotius. Oh boy, more weird title. All right, internet, help me out here. What does Neurotius mean? Let me see. Oh, here it is. Apparently the title is an acronym for Nothing is Real and This is a Simulation. If this is a simulation, where the fuck are the cheat codes? Let me put in big head mode to mess with everyone.
This is a simulation, we've all been stuck in the Kobayashi Maru for the last 4.5 years.
Okay. Is it up, up, down, down, left, right, F, right, X? Wait, is it PlayStation or Xbox? Nintendo shit, I don't know. Let's see.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start. The Konami code.
Motherfucking death by Konami! I really gotta rewatch Hellsing Ultimate someday. But anyway, yeah, so Chevelle are back. We have a new single here, you know, the lead off, called Self-Destructor. And, look. I will say this right now. I've tried, okay? I really do try with Chevelle, and look, to be fair, at least with this song here, it's not incompetent or bad or everything. Guitar works fine, song has a decent sense of flow and momentum and pacing from, you know, start to end. And admittingly, that sudden segue near the end to that heavy triplet groove does slap pretty hard, but I don't know, every time I try to get into this band, I know they're pretty well-known and beloved, but, like, it just doesn't really do much for me, and I think I finally figured out what it is. I just really don't like the sound of Pete Loeffler's voice. Like, at best, he sounds like a second-rate Maynard James Keenan. But at his most annoying, he sounds like Adam Levine doing a bad Maynard James Keenan impression.
Oh.
Like a goose trying to convince you that he can front a band. And that's just what, like, takes me out of the experience, even if the music is decent, all things considered.
Okay, so you would say that his voice is much like suffocating?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I brought this song to everyone's attention here because of how incredibly sterilized and homogenized a lot of radio rock has become over the past few years. Overly processed drums, unnecessary electropop elements, barely any guitars heavy in the mix, and just a display of apathy. Oh, and trend hopping, of course. That's where Chevelle comes into place, because with this track, it is absolutely par for the course radio rock, just as God intended, with tight and bright drums, crunchy overdriven guitars, quote-unquote Chevelle-style vocals. It's a complete 6.5 out of 10 track in a world where a lot of acts are settling for 2.5 out of 10.
I guess, but I'm not sure that's really saying much in Chevelle's favor.
This is what I mean by 6.5 out of 10. Not great, not terrible, just a little above average.
You get a C.
Yeah, that's C for Chevelle. I get it.
Sure, yeah. Oh, and speaking of 6.5 out of 10 radio rock.
Oh, yeah. So, remember when Kings of Leon were culturally relevant? That was 12 years ago. Long time. But yeah, March 5th, they themselves are also coming out with their newest album, When You See Yourself. And we have two songs to talk about here, which, you know, funnily enough, my notes here are damn near exactly the same as what Alex said about the Chevelle song. So with the tracks here, The Bandit and 100,000 People, yeah, they're nothing to write home about. They're just your pretty basic, you know, alternative slash indie rock jams. Every bit, you know, the style that Kings of Leon have been, you know, trucking along with. Presumably, I've only ever heard, like, one other Kings of Leon album. But at the very least, this is a band that at least uses, like, actual instruments. They know how to, like, write riffs and chord progressions and, you know, melodies that are meant to evoke an emotion. Instead of making you feel annoyed that you have to click the skip ad button on the internet's 1 billionth YouTube advertisement for Raid Shadow Legends. So, yeah, The Bandit, I guess, is the one I like better between the two, just because it has a more, you know, upbeat pace to it, whereas 100,000 People is a lot slower and feels more like a, kind of like a walking the beach at sunrise kind of thing. Again, nothing special, but at least it's nice sounding enough for people who like that kind of stuff, and it's not, you know, Dan Reynolds doing Dan Reynolds things.
Yep. These songs have a purpose to exist, they serve it. The Bandit is definitely more of an upbeat rock jam, and 100,000 People serves as more of the downbeat, bass groove-focused ballad, with just a little touch of synthwave hanging out in the back of the mix to help differentiate it a little bit more. It's perfectly serviceable. It's fine to listen to when you're in the car.
Pretty much. Now, moving on to the next album here, traveling back in time to February 5th, or I guess technically forward, you know what we mean. There's that new album from Foo Fighters called Medicine at Midnight. We've already talked about the lead single Shame Shame before, and now we have a new track here called No Son of Mine. And I mean, I like it better than the last single we had to talk about here. At least there's like a proper pulse and like riffs and a solo. It sounds like an actual, you know, rock song instead of some weird, half-baked pseudo Queens of the Stone Age non-pastiche. But I don't know, like, something about this just sounds really off to me in a way that I can't really put into words. Maybe if I filled in the blanks with the albums I'm missing between, you know, Wasting Light and Now, I'd probably get the bigger picture and put it into words, but I'm just like, I don't know, something's not quite right here.
Yeah, and it seems as though we've hit a trifecta of bands hitting that 6.5 out of 10 radio rock formation, but this doesn't work that well with this band in particular, because we all know that Dave Grohl can do much more than a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, maybe granted, that's what it is. Like, yeah, I just granted, expect more.
Yeah, the song is still better than that last one, but this one is also just kind of bland. It's got repeating lyrics, very typical E minor blues and pentatonic licks, stock drum beats. It's just, it's very 6.5 out of 10 when this band is known for doing much, much better than that. And I'm not having a good outlook on this album, because if these singles are indicative of what the rest of the album's going to be like, we are in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting Father of All bad, but yeah, I feel like there's going to be disappointments abound. Anyway,
speaking of,
now, that's not a proper transition, because in order to be disappointed, you need to have expectations. And I have zero expectations of quality from this next artist. So, who saw Todd in the Shadows Worst Songs of 2020 list?
I did.
Everybody, did we all see that?
Yep.
Yeah. Y'all remember what the number one was?
Yep.
You start singing it right now, we're gonna throw you in jail.
I wasn't gonna sing it.
Good. We need to establish that, because he pretty much put it best. That song, when that song was dropped at the beginning of January 2020, that was the first clear omen that nothing about that year was going to go right. But unfortunately, Justin fucking Bieber did not get the memo, because he decided to kick off 2021 by releasing a new single. And then look at what happened days later. You proud of yourself, Justin? The existence of your music is probably somehow directly causing bad things to happen in the universe. I mean, okay, realistically not, this is just exaggerated for comedy, but I ain't backing down anyway. So, what's with this new song here? It's called Anyone, and, I will say I like the part in the music video where Bieber gets knocked the fuck out, because apparently he thinks he's good enough to star in a amateur remake of Raging Bull. Wow, this is a bigger disgrace to Scorsese than, well, who even knows at this point?
I mean, didn't they already make that? It was called Prize Fighter on the Sega CD.
Oh, yeah. God, why did the Sega CD exist?
Because, I don't know, drugs?
Yeah, but anyway, as for the actual song itself, it's just generic pseudo-romance nothingness, which means that technically, air quotes, it's more competent than that song that shall not be named. At least it makes lyrical sense. But as always, as I think Todd put it best, this man just cannot carry a tune convincingly. He cannot portray any sort of emotion sincerely, and he just sounds like an obnoxious little shit.
Yeah, this sounds boring.
Same as it always was.
And I swear to God, if we end up getting a new album from him 2 years in a row, I am going to riot.
Oh boy, yeah. Yeah, and really who boosted it? Let's see. So my name Watt. This one was about Monsters and Strangers with Billy, with John Billion. And Piano by, oh boy, this guy again. Charlie Puth. Poof. Whatever. Who's a fuck?
Oh, that guy.
Speaking of not being able to carry tunes convincingly. Why does Puth have a career? Why do we let this happen?
Yeah, this one is something good. Something better.
Yeah, let's move on to someone who actually can sing and carry a tune convincingly. So, while we were off on break, we were blessed with a brand new song from SZA. It's called Good Days. And yes, it was a very good day when that song came out. Mostly because, you know, SZA can, you know, make any day better, because she is, of course, still one of the best singers in the game at the moment. And the song, of course, is that usual beautiful sounding, like, lush string instrumentation, complemented by her own gorgeous vocal singing romantically and shit. Come on, it's SZA, it's good shit.
Yeah,
do you need us to explain any further?
Let me tell you, it's released on a Christmas Day, so, hey, you got a good gift going on. And the core of it, I think what SZA's talking about is, like, basically her, like, talking about her temporary from her past to present. Negatively, like, trying to move to the future, look for the future instead. Like, basically, it's like, you know, looking at the past, like, okay, I fucked up on there, but I know in the future, I'm gonna fuck up less. Which is, okay, which is good. And also, there's vocals by someone named Jacob Collier, which I think is a Grammy nomination this year. We'll get to that later on.
Yeah, he's been, like, a known thing in the music world for a while, and, yeah, I actually heard that album, you know, while we were off. It's an interesting record.
All right.
My favorite thing in the world, but, you know.
It's a good song, and hope when that album comes out whenever, because, I don't know, because, like I said, the last time I talked about SZA, I don't think her and Top Dog Entertainment, they've been, not always on the best of terms, or at least, I don't know what's going on with them, or whatever the fuck they're doing with, like, I mean, the whole worst of them, because, like, she's been due for an album to come out since since 2017.
Yeah. We're probably about due for one by this point.
Speaking of Top Dog, you know people are really anxious for that new Kendrick album whenever that comes out.
Patience, people. But anyway, that finishes up the new song discussion. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, time for the news. And we're back. And yes, it's finally time to talk about it. So there was that raid on the United States Capitol a week ago.
Yeah.
And trust me, I would love to want to not think about it. But it somehow found a way to enter our goddamn sphere of the internet.
Yeah, basically, because, here's the thing, I found out the day after, because, wow, let's say personally, I was worn out, I was tired, I was frustrated, angry, because this bullshit happening, because, let's see, once again, the police are fucking up, because you see a bunch of people attacking the Capitol, you know, some country you're supposed to protect, and yet, when a bunch of crazy white people can't charge them with guns and all that shit, y'all just jump on my foot and let them in. Like, here you can go in. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter protests, y'all just throw my arm to the fucking teeth. Y'all just, you know what? Let's not, you know what? You get my phone for this. It's just fuckery again. Once again.
Yeah. You know, it's bad when Joe Scarborough, who most people don't like, to be perfectly honest, you know, it's bad when he's on MSNBC at 6 in the morning dropping an F-bomb.
Yeah. Because
fucking white people, man.
Fucking white people. And now, I get the part where, you know, in our realm. So, I found out a picture of a tweet from one of Juan DeMarco, and it says, vote for Trump, and I'm looking at who's the name, and it says Ariel Pink. And I mean, the actual Ariel Pink. It's not a fake account, it's actually the real fucking Ariel Pink.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, okay, maybe I have heard this guy was kind of an asshole, to be honest. To be honest, from what I heard from bad stories of him, but as it turns out, he was supporting an attempt for a pro-Trump rally that took place on the White House lawn on that day before they storming that shit.
Yeah.
Which he confirmed, as he says, he was in D.C. to briefly perform my post-report with the president. I took him to the rally on the White House lawn, went back to the hotel, took a nap. So he didn't do that shit.
Oh, okay. Clearly, this guy is one of the many who decided, no. I wasn't there to, you know, storm the Capitol building. I'm just there to do a peaceful protest in support of a guy who fucking lost.
Yeah. Okay, sure. You can say that, but how many people will think that of you visually? I know one thing. I know there's gonna be different about you. No one's gonna back you up, especially a label, because according to the Uncle Pitchfork, he's been dropped for his label Mexican Summer. Yeah, he got dropped, which in the tweet, and I quote. Due to the events, Mexican Summer and the staff have decided to end our relationship with Ariel Rosenberg, aka Ariel Pink, move forward. Yeah, I don't blame him.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Oh, boy. You.
Hi, I'm Reaping. Hi, Reaping. I'm sowing.
Oh, no. What the fuck is this shit?
You know, I'm disappointed. Okay, you know what? Disappointed, I'm gonna say, that's what I'm gonna say. I'm fucking furious at you. I'm furious at you. I don't like your fucking stuff. I put the album on Best of Wisdom 2017. Like, I should, you know what? Fuck it. You know what? You don't.
We can amend these retroactively. That is my belief.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't know what's this. Well, you pretty much lost somebody in your music. So like, yep, your shit's gone from my place forever. I kept my other indie pop acts that can, you know, that can do psychedelic stuff and not be, you know, people who support, you know, fascist, racist, homophobic, transphobic assholes like him.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, of course, the tea has spilled from various other pockets of the internet about how much of an asshole he is. I'm pretty sure I saw Kitty tweeting some stuff about how much of a dick Ariel Pink is. And I'm pretty sure I saw someone who, like, works in the local music scene down here tweeting about a show that they had to work that Ariel Pink was playing. And he was just the choicest of dicks. Oh, and let's not let John Mouse off the hook as well. Perhaps not as notable of a name relative to us, but they were also in the crowd at the rally, totally peacefully protesting in the name of a whiny-ass loser who lost the goddamn election. But, if there's one thing that could perhaps be said that isn't a complete and total mark against Ariel Pink, at least he didn't end up on an FBI watch list.
Oh,
unlike,
yeah.
Boy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we found this out before the news of Mouse and Pink, at least. But, yeah, there's been a rather famous photo circulating around the internet from the Capitol protests. Because, as it turns out, wanted by the FBI, amongst many other dipshits, is John Schaffer, longtime guitarist and soul founding member left of the power metal band Iced Earth. He actually made his way into the Capitol building, and, yeah, he's part of, like, a group of, what, like, 38-something people who, you know, are wanted by the FBI? Like, according to the Washington field office, they issued a call January 7th, quote, seeking the public's assistance in identifying individuals who made unlawful entry into the United States Capitol building on January 6th in Washington, D.C., and, yeah, looking at that poster, he looks very, very much like an aggressive douche, pointing angrily at something, I assume. He's probably pointing at, like, there's the QAnon, that thing that's totally real that I believe in. Yeah, so that happened. I mean, okay, so Iced Earth kind of being a conservative-ish band is not exactly news. I mean, remember when 9/11 happened, and then in 2004, Iced Earth came out with that one super patriotic AF album, and the album cycle surrounding it was just John Schaffer being complete and total America, fuck yeah, you know, that level of douchebaggery. So, yeah, it's not like it's an unknown thing, but still, this motherfucker's wanted by the FBI.
Yeah, and, you know, you wouldn't have ever expected it from such an upstanding guy like him. You know, a guy who thinks COVID isn't real and thinks that all the spikes are fabrications and that global elite families run everything. And here's my beef with this whole situation of everybody who breach the Capitol building. What was your plan? What was your plan to get out? Because not only did you all go in there without something to, you know, cover your face to protect your identity, you also had your phones out with you, taking pictures, shooting selfies with Capitol Police officers. One in question who's now been suspended and is probably going to be under investigation. And some of the people actually live-streamed the whole thing, so that way they could see everything happening from within. Oh, and because it's a federal property, I'm pretty sure there's like 1,000 security cameras all over the place.
And apparently I heard...
And there is actual face-tracking technology that the FBI can use. These people are being arrested as we speak. Charged with federal-level felonies. What was the end goal here? Were you just going to kill Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence and that was going to be it? Were you hoping you were going to get a mass pardon out of it? Oh my god, you fucking people are so fucking stupid, it's unbelievable. God damn.
And I think I heard somebody also smear shit on there, which, okay, y'all.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? Like, oh my god, I don't want to hear no dickhead talking about the being important, like, no BLM protest did this shit. No one would do this shit, because let's face it, if it were black people, well, guess what? You already know how that would end up.
But yeah, the cops would actually have done, you know, what they say their job is, instead of, you know, look, it's all the white people who totally have justified grievances, even though, you know, let's just let them in. They're totally not living in, like, a paranoid, delusional reality. No, it's fine.
And to think, all of this was instigated by the acting and serving president of the United States of America. Good fucking God.
You know, I'm aware that the process of impeachment is unfortunately something that cannot be fast-tracked, but good Lord, I wish it could.
People, we gotta think long game here, because impeachment without conviction is a waste of time. That is the end goal here. Conviction. And unfortunately, that's not a guarantee.
Yeah. Mm. And I will say this at the end. Well, at least we got some lights out of it. Don't people talk about they're under no fly list. And apparently that one video of somebody trying to climb up the walls, and then they use video game sounds of it, which, okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, and there was the guy who may or may not have died from a heart attack after his nuts got tased. Because, apparently the man's wife said it didn't happen, which is probably code for it totally happened, guys.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. You do not get to say her name to that one woman who died getting shot in the neck when you motherfuckers talk mad, ill shit to Breonna Taylor, to George Floyd, to Ahmaud Arbery, to Sandra Bland, to Tamir Rice, to Trayvon Martin. In fact, no, you can talk shit off because that woman died because she fucked around and found out. Well, she found out, and guess where she is now?
Yeah. And just as a reminder, that was from a Secret Service officer. Post-inauguration, if anyone tries that, Secret Service is going to be all over the place. Because, 12:01 p.m., they carry over to the new commander-in-chief. So, who would win in a fight? A couple thousand cosplay militants? Or the United States military with an armed fleet the size of a metropolitan city?
They plan for more shit, right? Which, oh boy.
Yeah. This is just... Can we fast forward to 9 days from now?
Please.
Yes.
By the way,
I want to celebrate New Year's Day.
By the way, shout out to the other guys in Iced Earth who are trying to condemn the actions of the writers while also softening the language, just because they know that if they talk shit about John, they're probably going to lose their jobs. you guys, You think you're threading that needle, and bless your hearts.
Does this remind you of something? I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just say, wow, Ariel really does stink.
Yeah. But you know what else stinks? Well,
death. We can't... We have to move from infuriating real-world events to tragic real-world events. Two of them, in fact, because again, the stench of 2020 still lingers.
Yeah.
First off, the way this year decided it was going to kick off, we got news of the extremely unexpected passing of Alexei Laiho, former frontman of Children of Bodom, at the age of 41. Just right out of the blue, that's how we're starting this year, eh?
Yeah, this fucking sucks. It really does. Alexei Laiho was probably one of the most influential guitarists of my adolescent years, because Children of Bodom was that first really heavy band I got into in my musical discovery, because I figured out what this whole melodic death metal thing, and these guys did it better than pretty much anyone, blending, you know, punk and rock and roll with neoclassical and even Mozart, along with a little bit of black metal on Hatebreeder, which I love that album. Yeah, I had heard a couple years back that Alexei Laiho wasn't as well as he once was, because he looked a lot skinnier, like he had lost a lot of weight. For what it's worth, we don't have a cause of death. We probably won't for, you know, private reasons, but... Oh, man, This sucks. This really sucks. I've been listening to a lot of Children of Bodom in the past week, and it's just... Talent like that at a young age never comes around. Like, go listen to Something Wild and Hatebreeder and Follow the Reaper. That was all before Alexei Laiho was, you know, 25. He was really young when he started Children of Bodom, and it's just... Oh, I hate death. It really sucks.
I'm pretty sure that very first Children of Bodom album came out before he was even 20.
Yeah, I think Hatebreeder was when he was only 19.
That dude spent like half of his life in Bodom and shit. That's insane. I still remember when one of my first friends in middle school told me, "Hey, check out this song called Downfall." And like, I heard that and I was like, "Holy shit, this is fucking cool as hell."
And yeah, apparently in some circles that was kind of a meme song, as in, but can you play Downfall?
Man, I don't know why you would treat that song like a meme. It is a goddamn classic banger.
I think it's because the drum part is, like, really hard.
Yeah, it kind of is. I have tried to learn, and I can't keep up with the momentum. But yeah, man, Laiho being one of the great guitar, you know, great guitar players of the era, especially considering that I think, you know, Vince Neil Stein put it best, like, Bodom came around at a time when there wasn't a lot of, like, major shredders in the metal scene, mm-hmm. mostly because this was, like, at the relative commercial peak of nu metal, and the masses could not have been less interested. But then this guy comes along and makes shredding the coolest thing in the world again to, like, pretty much a lot of young people. Like, it never really occurred to me just how young Children of Bodom's fan base kind of skewered, which makes sense, Laiho, you know, being a young dude himself and kind of having, like, that youthful energy to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That pink and black ESP guitar is my white whale guitar. I will search high and low to find it, and I will have it one day.
Also, let me just say that catching them live during the Halo of Blood tour is still one of the best concerts I've ever been to. A+. But the tragedy still continues, because this is the literal note that 2020 decided it wanted to end on. December 31st, just mere hours before the clock was finally going to spin over, seeing the social media feeds and hearing it from Jason DeMarco's Twitter feed, you know, quoting a relative of the deceased, apparently one of the all-time goats of hip-hop Metal Face Doom passed away this last year. And not on New Year's Eve, mind you. No. He died on Halloween. And we didn't find out until New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that...
Fucking MF Doom, man.
That one just fucked up my day. Like finding out he died, that sucks. But damn, like, two months, like finally 2 months later, which I get why they were positive, which I get that, I respect that, but damn, that's still fucking got to me, man. Like I didn't even, man, this is fucking got to me, man. My suggestion to Doom is, okay, it's very simple how I got the MF Doom is because of, guess.
Was it the mouse in the mask? Or just Adult Swim in general?
Yeah.
Mad Villainy?
Yeah. Adult Swim, Mad Villainy, the Boondocks, that one episode, Let's Nap Oprah, where they played three songs, Strange Ways, Raid, and All Caps. Which that got me to check out more of his stuff. More of his stuff, like, that led to Mad Villainy, was other stuff like Operation Doomsday, Mfu, which I love that album, Born Like This, which is very good, and of course, The Mouse in the Mask with Danger Mouse. And also his other project as, Victor Vaughn, Vaudeville Villain, yeah. But man, this, I think, during my late teens and early 20s, I really got a lot into MF Doom. Like, this probably my gateway more into more underground hip hop in a way. Like, got more into more experimental rappers like him, or at least someone like that. Like, man, this, like, we hear stuff like, you know, stuff like accordion, stuff like All Caps. The worst thing was even on his own production, like, you know, a bunch of, like, going up to his first album, like a Doomsday, which he sampled. So, which he really worked that well. He really got it well. And of course, on the same album, you got Ready Gold, my all time favorite track of that album. And there's also, there's a lot of MF Doom songs I fucking love. I have his catalog. Like, I go to Mfu, which basically the whole album is themed around, you know, food. Like, you got tracks like Beef Rap, Whole Cakes, Deep Fried Friends, Rationish Canicious. And it was fucking bang, man. It's just coming off guard that the MF Doom is just now gone. And I know his wife, you know, text message, which it's gotta be double sad for her considering like. She lost both her husband and her son, which I mentioned that MF Doom lost his son a couple years back. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Honor the ones among the living while they're still living, because you never know when they're going to be gone. You never know, and it sucks. It's just...
Yeah. And hearing just, like, all the homages from all realms of, like, the rap world, and not even just, like, MCs and stuff, like, guys like Open Mike Eagle or, shit, I think Aesop Rock even posted a tribute to MF Doom. I'm pretty sure I saw the vocalist from the Black Dahlia Murder being upset that MF Doom passed. Even Trevor Strnad knows the greatness of Doom.
Yeah,
he knows all caps when you spell the man's name.
I think I saw like people like or like Owen Davis, the creator. Dennis, the creator of Fanny Train, talked about MF Doom on his Twitter feed. Like, this shit done affected a lot, and yeah, man.
And of course, there was someone who probably knew Doom better than most, Jason DeMarco. Who went, like I said, his Twitter feed was how I found out about this in the first place. And, like, in the days after, he was sharing all kinds of, you know, anecdotes about working with the man on stuff like The Mouse and the Mask. And even that project, The Missing Notebook Rhymes, which we finally figured out what in the holy hell was going on with that project. Apparently, like, the network ended up getting in, like, a lot of trouble because Doom, like, owed money to producers and, you know, had clear samples and owed songs to a label, so that's why that project got shut down. And also, apparently, there was going to be, like, a second sort of Adult Swim collaboration album back in the day, but Doom just took the money and ran, and, like, you know, DeMarco himself saying he always got chewed out for it, and was like, why do you want to keep working with this man? To which Jason pretty much probably gave the only answer that you could. Because it's fucking Doom.
Yeah. And also, apparently, what I learned today is that apparently the founder of Stone Stone Records, Peanut Butter Wolf, said that the, well, you know how we talked about how, like, we're going to be a Mad Villainy 2 or something like that, or a sequel to it? Well, according to him, it said that the project is 85% done. There's 11 tracks that have already been made. Although he don't want Doom to rush into because you know it's Doom. He let him took his time, which okay, yeah, all right. And I'm pretty sure that might be shelf forever because, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, if you're curious, but I don't know. I'd rather just look at ass art that may never be seen or heard again, or at least not complete.
Yeah, not while everyone's still reeling, at the very least.
Yeah.
If at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... That is the tragedies that still linger into this year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. And that's from the music area.
But we, you know, can't linger on
that. Yeah.
At least for now, anyway, or we'd be here forever. But time to move on to the next topic, which, as I believe Alex himself described it, I am a big fan of Not This.
Yeah, okay, so being a guitar player and a bit of a guitar nerd, this time of year would be the week of Winter NAMM, the big music trade show where all the big music companies congregate to show off their new products for the new year, all the new instruments. That's obviously happening on Earth 2, but here on Earth 1, no, it's not. Everybody's doing their own virtual thing, and, well, it got off to a bit of an interesting start, because, wouldn't you know it, on the morning of January 6th, before all that happened, Gibson announced they have acquired Mesa Boogie, the amplifier company. Here's why I'm concerned about that. This is Gibson. They just got out of bankruptcy. They've been doing a lot of weird things. They've been doing a lot of high-ticket item pricing for some of their guitars, a lot of which, honestly, you can get better features in other guitars for a lot less. But, you know, it's all about that brand recognition. So, you know, next time you see someone show off their $7,000 Les Paul, just, you know, point to any other guitar. But, yeah, so Gibson acquiring Mesa Boogie. A company with sketchy products acquiring a company with sketchy products, like the Cab Clone. Anderson's. Oh, where did that come from? Oh, sorry. I'll never forget that moment. Now, there is a positive to this, as under the ownership of Gibson, this will allow Mesa Boogie to have further reach with retailers like Sweetwater and Guitar Center, pending we still have Guitar Center this year, because that is up in the air with some bankruptcy talk as well. And as of this moment, everything is still kind of too soon to tell what's going to happen. Most indication that I've heard, and I'm sourcing this from, you know, Fluff, Ryan Bruce, is that the day-to-day operations at Mesa Boogie will remain the same. It's just going to be under the guise of another company with possibly more resources to work with. But I think we know how this kind of thing plays out. If it performs well, they're going to make some changes. If it underperforms, they're going to sell it off. So only time will tell what's going to happen here, and let's just hope we don't get another cab clone situation.
Corporate consolidation. It's a bitch and a half, isn't it?
Yeah.
But time to move on to the next news topic. But first, a little bit of a tangent. So, over the break, this is something I forgot to mention in the intro, I was saving it for this part, there were a couple run-ins that my family had with the Rona. So I had to, do a lot of testing. And come to find out that when I reported that to my job, that I was like, I'm not sure if I can go in because of the Rona thing. Even though I tested negative, they still wouldn't allow me to come back until sometime later this week.
Oh, yeah, that to me too.
Coronavirus is a bitch. It's still going on. Even though we have a vaccine in place, there's still, woeful inefficiencies in its distribution for a multitude of frustrating reasons. So the Rona is still an issue that we all have to deal with until fuck knows how long. And you know who had to learn that lesson the hard way this past week? The Grammy Awards. News! The Grammys are going to be postponing their ceremony from its original January 31st date to March 14th. Citing, quote, thoughtful conversations with health experts, our hosts and artists scheduled to appear. Yeah, so there's been, like, surges in cases in Los Angeles. The hospital's being overwhelmed, ICUs reach capacity, and tons of guidance from state and local governments have concluded, the Recording Academy and CBS to say that they pretty much have to move the show. Because things are totally going to get better by March. At least I don't have to end my month like this. Because I was just like, I swear to God, I had to make myself listen to albums and stuff. Thankfully, I didn't listen to that Justin Bieber album. I don't know why that was nominated, but there's still stuff I had to make myself listen to. And I'm like, do I really have to hear the Grammys praise this bullshit?
There's an interesting note in here as well. It says they already planned on a limited show for the year. No audience, only presenters and performers on site, and nominees are going to stay home. Boy, that's going to make the 3.5-hour actual awards show go a lot quicker.
Oh, they will find a way to pad. I am sure of this.
Since I said last time. Well, I guess I can watch on CBS, which I now have back. That's fine. I mean, it's CBS. Why should I care if I had it back? But well,
yeah,
we got it back. Even though at least it had to, should be like some cast for CBS All Access. Which no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen, CBS.
Television broadcast
isn't even. I know what it means. Like, I know what they gotta do, like, less award show, considering, like, ain't nothing, like, what's gonna happen to, stuff like the Oscars, since I know that ain't gonna happen anytime soon. Or at least, not in a theater with capacity.
Yeah, we're probably not gonna get that anytime soon. So, recording industry, good luck with figuring that out. Oh, and by the way, this is only tangentially related, but as I mentioned, I did listen to some of the nominated albums. Fuck you, Royce da 5'9". You know why.
That's the reason why I don't really listen to that much. Like, ew, boy. I'm the guy that puts Freddie Gibbs on a Hobby Baby or Hobby albums, did you do Alfredo or did you not?
Oh, I listened to Alfredo.
I'm curious of your thoughts.
It is, I'll admit I don't have much of a frame of reference for Gibbs. I think I've only heard... Actually, this might be the first album I've ever heard from him in full. Good stuff, but I'm probably not the right person to make a broad judgment call on it.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, funny you mentioned that, and funny that I mentioned Fuck Royce the 5'9", because that gives us a nice segue into our last story here. Eh, you see? So, yeah, the vaccine, it's technically here, but there's distribution problems out the ass. In fact, just a question, do you, at least referring to my present company, do either of you know anyone who got the vaccine?
Nope.
Nope.
I know exactly one person, and that's my uncle, and that's only because he works as a firefighter for the city. So, you know, he probably gets priority, you know, as an essential worker in that sense. You know, that is kind of important. We do need firefighters in our society.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's the distribution problems to deal with, the scheduling, and that's before you get into the anti-vaxxer dipshits. You know, those Emmy Award winners. Because, yeah, they're kicking up their usual nonsense about how, oh, they're going to inject you with fucking microchips, he says, tweeting from his Android phone that probably has a GPS inside of it. Yeah, why do you think that Maps application is there? It's not just to help you navigate to Waffle House when you're drunk. We all know you're doing that anyway. But yeah, they're out in full force being like, dude, the fucking deep state, man. They're gonna fucking microchip you with their vaccines. They can track you everywhere. They're gonna institute a new world order, man. Oh. Fucking look at these documents. Look at this blueprint for the microchip they're putting in you. They can fit that into the COVID-19 vaccine and put it into you and make you a slave.
What the fuck are you...
One
what are you
problem
on?
There, Chief. There's one little itsy-bitsy problem. Yeah, that blueprint is for a guitar pedal.
not just any guitar pedal. It's for a Boss Metal Zone pedal, a.k.a. the meme pedal.
Yes, this is the, how do I put this? This is the Black Clover of guitar pedals.
Trust me, I am the guitar guy around here. The Boss Metal Zone is probably a half step above a Line 6 Spider.
This is, yeah, can you believe that somehow the conspiracy they've latched onto around here? They've been circulating images of the blueprints of the COVID-19 vaccine microchip, but really it's just the insides of the Boss Metal Zone MT2. The fucking laughing stock of the... In fact, you know that one episode of Rick and Morty where, you know, they're jumping universes and eventually they get to that one that's like the evil Rick with the force field of Morty's? And you know that one Rick? The really doofy-looking one with the stupid, like, bull haircut? He's the laughingstock of the Rick world. That's the Metal Zone. That is what that is. It is the Jerry Smith of pedals.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you look at the diagram that's being shared, which I don't know if this is actually legit or if it's just being shared, you know, for laughs. If it's being shipped as legitimate, I'm very concerned because in big red text you have foot switch, volume, mid, out, treble, bass. How is that gonna work for a vaccine?
I don't know. I don't know at all. And you know what? Honestly, I think being injected with a Metal Zone pedal would suck worse than being injected with microchips, so give me the goddamn microchips. Let Bill Gates fucking track me all he goddamn wants. You know, he'll have some employee at Microsoft being like, this guy spends a lot of time at Wawa. Is he okay?
I mean, we microchip our pets. Are we no better than our pets?
I don't know, man. At least I actually like looking at my pets instead of, you know, looking at conspiracy nuts. Good God, we are drowning in stupid. But at least we ended on a note of stupidity that was a little bit funny. So, yeah, with all that out of the way, time to move on to the last bits of business here. There's barely anything coming out this week. I'm sure there's stuff if you're, like, digging deep into the darkest parts of the band camps. But aside from that, any releases of note are pretty much just limited to the new You, Me at Six album Sucker Punch and Zane's Nobody Is Listening. Which, good God, is that really what you're going to name your album? That belongs in the same league as, like, The Clash's Cut the Crap or
you,
Spinal Tap's Shark Sandwich.
You know you put yourself in your album there. It's like saying, nobody's listening. And yeah, and pretty much next week it'd be like, well, no shit, nobody was listening.
Everybody's too occupied with the K-pop instead of, you know, British boy band pop. But, you know, whatever. And now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I tell politicians to fuck off. Lament at the fact that we are all drowning in stupid, and celebrate the fact that Tommy Vexed is getting yeeted out into the sun.
Beautiful. It's like poetry.
Yeah, and also, Filibonte, please shut the fuck up. Nobody wants to hear you.
Yeah, please, do us all that favor. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MetaMedia, where recently I just became an angry and probably sad motherfucker on there. Well, you know why. And, of course, my site, themanhattanhaveonevelpress.com, where I've been talking about the spring, the winter anime season, which, again, there's a lot of shit going on. Hell, there's a lot of sequel seasons going on, like Promised Neverland, fucking Layback Camp, Dr. Stone premieres this week.
Yeah, a lot of anime. But anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sorareresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. The audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can let us know the secrets of the three-dimensional snack chip products. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that about does it for the first episode of the new year. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So, until then, danger doom for America.
I'm Matthew Lesko, and I have an amazing new system that's going to change your life. It's Danger Doom. Hate your job? Quit it. Jobs are for suckers. My new amazing system will help you stop your crying. Danger Doom. Trouble with friends and family? Or not enough whipped cream to fill the tub? Danger Doom is the answer. If you're looking for free cars, free houses, or free kick-ass speakers, get Danger Doom.
Thanks to Danger Doom, I got this sweet ride.
Danger Doom for America!
I'd always wanted to kill a man. Danger Doom helped me achieve my dream.
Stop abusing yourself. You're going over the rainbow, baby.
Danger Doom taught me how to swim.
Don't hesitate. Go to Adult Swim right now and order Danger Doom.
All new Danger Doom available now at AdultSwim.com. Don't wait. Get your very own copy of Danger Doom right now for the low, low price of $13.98. That's right, $13.98.
Danger Doom!